As most of you know, I recently broke a few bones in my wrist. I broke two of them. And I never really knew how much a broken bone hurt, but how it affects so many other aspects of our body. So something simple like me bending down to pick up my shoe with this hand is felt pretty horribly in this wrist. And so because of this, I became fascinated with how the human body heals. That curiosity combined with my studies for today led me to learn about ligaments. For those of you who might not know, I didn't. I know we have ligaments. I wasn't sure their exact function. You know, I'm not studying that. Maybe I should know. I don't know. But I learned that they are bands of tissue that connect bones and joints and organs, and they help us to move, and they give us stability. We have over 900 of them in our bodies. And again, maybe that's public knowledge. I only knew about 206 bones. So we have over four times the amount of ligaments in our bodies than we do bones. Now, when one of our ligaments are injured, it actually affects the whole body's ability to function properly. So when one of those tiny little ligaments are injured, it affects our whole body. And that got me thinking about how each of us plays a crucial role in the body of Christ. So the same way that ligaments connect and support our bones and our joints and our organs to make us function properly as individual humans, our actions and our words and our love connect us to each other, helping the church to function as a unified whole. And today we're going to explore what it means to be united together as one body in Christ, each living out our individual part, but we are all working towards the same goal. So if you could turn with me to Ephesians 4, we've got a kind of a big chunk of a passage here. We're going to go 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. God, help us to hear you now. Help us to empty our minds of all of the background noise. Help us to remember why we're here. We love you. Amen. All right. This is a beefy, beefy passage. But my initial reaction is that Paul just redefined unity for me. It is very, very complex, and yet it's very simple at the same time. So I see here that despite what the world tells me, none of this is about me. And I actually have a goal in life, a goal that is not about me. Because see, when it becomes about me, it becomes about you. If everything that I'm doing is about me, then everything that you're doing is going to be about you. And then when it's about me, it's about my goal. And when it's about you, it's about your goal. What happens then is we've got millions and billions of people running around trying to achieve their goals. Now, I like to think that that is something that we've grasped. We've grasped this understanding as God's people that doesn't really work, that level of understanding. I think that on a level, we've collectively tried to come to the agreement that we all want to work towards one goal, and that is the fulfillment of unity in our faith. And that sounds great, and it sounds like we're on the right path, following the Bible, right? However, up until recently, when I would read this passage, I would, in my mind, unknowingly change unity to unison. And I don't know if anybody else has done that. But unity and unison are not the same things. Unison usually has something to deal with music, obviously. However, when we use it, we typically use it to define something as synchronized. Everybody doing the same thing at the same time in the same way. Think about swimmers. Think about in 2008, those drummers at the Olympic Games, the opening, there were 2008 drummers that were all drumming at the exact same time, looked the exact same way on the same drums. That's what unison is. Unity is the state of being joined together, forming a whole from separate parts. Now, why does that matter? They're basically the same things, right? Unity, unison. Well, they're not. When I misinterpret unity as unison, all of a sudden now, if you don't think like me, you're wrong. If you don't vote like me, you're wrong. If you don't look like me, you're wrong. If you don't worship the way that I worship, you're wrong. When I continue to misinterpret unity as unison, I now downplay and I suppress the spiritual gifts of others because they aren't mine. I now try to get everyone to conform to this one single standard. My relationships, they're now bound by my personal vision of what I think they ought to be, and they are held in chains, unable to grow in any way. We create division and conflicts when we misinterpret these two, which is literally the definition of disunity. So do I think that this is what Paul meant by unity? I don't think so. And maybe I'm wrong. But in verses 1 through 6, Paul called us to unity. And he emphasizes our connection to each other and how we ought to live this life to which we have been called. Being patient, being completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another in love. But why? It's to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's our goal. And as I read this, I can't help but to ask myself, how am I connected to the body of Christ? Am I connected to promote unity? Am I building strong and supportive connections with others? Am I contributing to that sense of unity and harmony, or am I living in areas of division? And if I am living in certain areas of division, what am I doing to strengthen those areas? Am I seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance and efforts to make amends? Am I offering support and encouragement to others within the body of Christ? Am I seeking to be connected beyond the Sunday morning, hey, how's your week been? Banter. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but is it ending there? Or am I okay with that? Is that my connection to the body of Christ? I don't know. As we get down to verses 7 through 11, we've all been given different gifts. We've been given different gifts, and the purpose of that is so that the body of Christ may be built up. Period. We have these gifts to contribute. We are given them. We are given gifts so that we can contribute. I was speaking to a friend the other day, and he pointed out to me that it's worth paying attention to the fact that it says here that we're given these gifts so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's important. Because how often in our walks, I know for me, I felt this way, and I feel like other people have too. How often do we feel like we have to get to a certain point in our walk with Christ before we use our gifts? It's what I've heard called the readiness barrier. We feel like we have to be at a certain level of maturity or reach a certain achievement before we use our gifts. But those gifts are given to us for immediate use to serve others and to build up the church. It's not this waiting game. We're to use them regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey. Now think about the gifts that you've been given. And if you're not sure, start talking to those who know you the most. Ask them, because you know, for me, I could think that I'm really good at one thing. But the people that know me the most, be like, oh, well, actually, you kind of suck in that. You know, this is where I think you're great at. And you could be like, what? I feel like I'm terrible at that. So I think, you know, because sometimes we get into our own mind and we think a certain way, but really, and especially if you start asking more than one person, more than just your spouse, you ask other people and they're all saying the same thing and it's opposite of what you're seeing, then maybe you should take what they're saying and run with it. Every one of us has been uniquely gifted to serve a different and unique purpose within the body of Christ. This is all about us all working together collectively because we are the body of Christ. Now, your gift is going to look different than your spouse's, your friend's, another pastor's, another server of ministry, another coworker, your children. It's going to look different. But our differences are strength when united in the Spirit. Okay? So it may seem different, but it's a strength. We're building off of one another. Embrace them. And that's hard to do sometimes too, I think, because maybe we're wanting something else that somebody else has in regards of their gifts. And so we downplay ours. We're not called to do that. We have to embrace them because they're specifically designed to contribute to the well-being of the body. And there are no significant or insignificant gifts in the kingdom of God. There's no significant or insignificant parts. Every single gift, whether it's visible or whether it's behind the scenes, is vital to the growth and the health of the church. Every single one. How are you using what you've been given to contribute to the health and the growth of the body of Christ? The church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Every gift has a purpose, and every purpose is used to build the body. So we move down. Look at in 12 to 16. We're all working together to reach unity in the faith. We're all working together so that we will no longer be swayed by the false teachings and the deceitful schemes of others. We're all working together to speak in truth and love so that we all together grow up into Him who is Christ. We're all doing our own unique part for the same unified goal. Ligaments, muscles, and bones, they have to work together harmoniously. If one component fails or operates in isolation, that's important too, the entire system can suffer. So if one component of muscles and bones and ligaments, if they fail or they operate in isolation, the entire system can and will suffer. In the church, our cooperation ensures that we support one another and we work together toward our common goal. We all have the same goal. And when we do that, we prevent dysfunction and we promote growth. What does cooperation and action look like for us, though? Well, we become proactive in offering help and encouragement. When conflict comes up, because it's going to, approach it with a mindset of reconciliation and understanding rather than hostility and defensiveness. And this gets me every time, because if I feel like there's an injustice being done, I am the first one to be like, what are we doing to fix this? I don't care what we have to do, burn the place down. I don't care. That's not good. We have to make sure that we're approaching everything calmly and with a spirit. We have to work towards solutions. And we have to work towards solutions by promoting unity and respect, not unison. Volunteer for roles and tasks within the church that align with your gifts and your talents. And then also while doing that, support others in their roles, whether it's a kind word, whether it's a question of, hey, how can I help you? What do you need? Cooperation is serving one another. And it builds a stronger, more unified body. I shouldn't have to say this, but even for me, we have to avoid rudeness and harshness and unkind behavior. For me, that's hard because I'm a pretty harsh person. And it's not like a bad thing. I'm just, you know, this is what we got to do. Get to it. It's very difficult for me to come here and speak on Sundays because I just feel like, all right, well, this is what the Bible says. Let's do it. And, you know, that's kind of harsh. Cooperation should be displayed by love and patience and respect. All of those attributes reflect Christ's character in every one of his interactions. And then it will for us too. We need to engage in active listening and be open to others' perspectives and their needs. Active listening is, and it's hard for me too sometimes because I have a billion squirrel moments. But when someone's talking to you, watch their eyes or their mouth and give a little uh-huh. You know, listen to them because you never know, even something as simple as how are you, how far that's going to go. Every single role is essential. And our unity and effectiveness. So how effective we are is dependent upon each one of us doing our part. No matter what it is. And this isn't just for Sundays when we gather here. It is for every day. How are we promoting peace and unity in our workplaces? What about our homes? Or our communities? Are we using what we've been gifted to build others up, or are we holding back? And are we seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to balance truth and love? To strive for unity without compromising our faith? Because that's hard, especially right now. Election year. All of the things. We have to be able to balance truth and love and get to unity without compromising our faith. There's a difference between understanding and affirming. There's a difference between talking with one another and arguing with one another. There's a difference between hearing your friend's point of view on something and just listening to it, and then listening to it to judge them silently. When was the last time that you saw conflict? Work? At home? How did you respond? The other day, I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to. The other day, my husband and I, we just found out we're going to be moving. You all already know. But in the conversation with my husband's work, his current work, he said, you know, well, they don't know how long they're going to give me if I want to, you know, stay on or whatever. And I don't want them to get mad if I end up staying with this company. And if I say, then I have to go. You want to see somebody go from 0 to 100 in a millisecond? That was me. Because all of you know this trapeze that we've been walking across since April about, oh, do we have a job? Do we not have a job? Do we have a job? Do we not have a job? And so he's like, I don't want them to get upset. I'll tell you what, I had an opportunity to display the love of God and the patience, and I did not. I had a bunch of fun words and thoughts about how they should be, how they need to react if we say we're going, and they shouldn't, you know, give us any words except thank you. And I reflected on that afterwards. I was like, man, I should not have done that. But it's little things like that. And I am a huge advocate. It's the little things it's the little things that make us who we are. It's the little things that make our relationships what they are. You know, you've been married to somebody for 1 year and yeah, everything's great and amazing. You're just so in love. But when you're married to them for 20 years, you love them way more than you did at the beginning because you've had all these billions of little moments. And it takes those little tiny moments to mature us and to grow us into who we ought to be within the body of Christ. Unity requires us to be intentional in our actions. Unity requires us to be intentional in our words. And it's an intentionality that needs to reflect the love of Christ in all that we do. Unity does not require us all to agree on every detail or to act in unison. Instead, it calls us to be united in our mission. We're working together to reflect the love of Christ and then build up the body. Each act of service, every effort that to connect and to cooperate is a step toward achieving this unity. And as we leave today, I would encourage you to commit ourselves to promoting peace and unity in all areas of our lives. And it's not, you know, running out with flags and, you know, standing on the side of the road. It's in those moments that form who we are. It's our everyday interactions. It's how we live our lives outside of our little comfort bubble here. That's, I think, where it counts probably even the most. And I don't think I'm wrong about that. Because, you know, we all put on the happy face on Sundays. You know, everything's great. I think we're making steps towards not doing that and being real, but, you know, how are we living outside of our bubble here? Let's use our gifts to embrace cooperation and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit to reflect Christ's love in all that we do. Unity is our shared goal. That's our goal in life. Everything else is just a tool to help us get there. And every step that we take towards that goal, no matter how small, it does contribute to the strength and the growth of the body of Christ.